UTC right after the international news.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with Egyptian football star Mohamed Salah, whose late goal Wednesday sealed Liverpool's 2-0 win against host Inter Milan in a first-leg UEFA Champions League round of 16 match. Salah's goal in the 83rd minute was his 8th in this Champions League campaign, putting him 2 goals behind Ivorian striker Sebastian Haller of Ajax Amsterdam. And yes, let's give another Sunny Side of Sports holla for Sebastian Haller. Now, after 74 minutes of scoreless football in Italy, the Brazilian Roberto Firmino scored for Liverpool, a 6-time European champion. And then Salah scored with a deflected effort inside the box. Final score from the San Siro Stadium in Milan, Italy, Liverpool 2, Inter Milan 0. Liverpool now looks in good position to advance ahead of the second leg at Anfield on March 8th. In Salzburg, Austria, a goal from the Frenchman Kingsley Coman in the 90th minute gave Bayern Munich a 1-1 draw with host Red Bull Salzburg. Nigeria-born Chukwuebuike Adamu opened the scoring for Red Bull Salzburg with a goal in the 21st minute. The 20-year-old Adamu was born in Kano, Nigeria, and he's represented Austria at the international level. The second leg between Bayern Munich and Red Bull Salzburg will be played March 8th in Munich, Germany. And VOA's Gwen Uten will have some UEFA Champions League reaction from the coaches later in the show.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
One of our big African football stories this month was Senegal lifting the Africa Cup trophy for the first time on February 6th in Yaoundé, Cameroon. In the Nations Cup final, the Lions of Taranga of Senegal beat the Pharaohs of Egypt 4-2 on penalty kicks after 120 minutes of scoreless football in Yaoundé. Senegal's victory set off celebrations in the capital, Dakar. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2022, Samson O'Malley tells us more.
Tens of thousands of ecstatic revelers celebrated the players' return to Dakar, sitting on top of their cars and dancing in the capital's streets. Serigne Ndiaye is a big fan of the Lions of Taranga. He tells me how the atmosphere was like in Dakar when the team arrived.
Well, the atmosphere in Dakar in Senegal at large was incredible. Imagine while players were supposed to land in Leopold Sédar Senghor Airport at 4 p.m., fans were out there in the morning. Actually, the party started in Sunday night, just after the game. People were out on streets dancing and firing fireworks. And when players arrived in Dakar on Monday, which was declared a national holiday, they were greeted by President Macky Sall, who cut short a foreign tour to hold an official reception. Together with players, we fans were singing, dancing. All the streets were busy. Let's say it was just a street party. I have never experienced anything like it before in Senegal. Can you imagine the parade from Leopold Sédar Senghor Airport to the presidential palace took over 6 hours for what is supposed to be a 45-minute drive.
The Confederation of African Football President Patrice Motsepe says the continental governing body will continue to ensure that the safety of fans in any competition on the continent will not be compromised. Motsepe gave the assurance following the stampede at the Olympic Stadium in Cameroon during the just-concluded African Cup of Nations, which led to the death of 8 persons. Motsepe insists that stadia across the continent must not fall short of international standards.
I have a fundamental duty as a president of CAF to make sure that the circumstances, the infrastructure, the facilities at the stadium are in line with safety worldwide. And as I said, we should stop saying that stadiums in Africa will be at a level in terms of global standards, will be at a lower level. We will always aim to make sure that in its totality, whether it's the pitch, whether it's the safety, whether it's the security, that we're in line with what happens in Europe and worldwide.
The African Cup of Nations drew football fans from all over the continent and those who came from outside Africa to witness the tournament. I spoke to a few of them who shared their thoughts on the 2021 AFCON.
My name is Nikolai. I'm from Russia. So we came here for the good football, good African football. We love African football. And, well, today we support Cameroon because we're in Cameroon. I like Senegal more. Like, Senegal's is a team, you know. Well, Egypt is also a team, but Egypt is a team of one leader.
My name is Remy Sulola. I'm a reporter with the cable and online newspaper in Nigeria.
Come from Paris. My name is Mpesa Odile.
From
Paris.
Okay.
Paris. I just come, comment dit le 2 février. Tout février, I come here, only see football. Wow. I take my holiday for come see the CAN football.
My name is Taufik Babalola, Lagos. Cameroon is very lovely place, from Garoua to Douala to Yaoundé. They are very lovely people. And the environment is okay.
For their part, ordinary Cameroonians said the hosting of the 2021 African Cup of Nations has improved the economic and social life of residents in the country. Those who spoke to the Sunny Side of Sport in Yaoundé say the AFCON 2021 brought so much value to the economy.
I'm happy because I'm seeing a lot of things changing. I'm seeing a lot of effort that people are making, particularly for our roads. Cleaning, that's the best thing for me, and that is the most thing that I appreciate.
Before the African Cup is being organized, it helps to create a most of job opportunities for the youth.
I'm seeing many business like t-shirt, like flags of countries, and many things like around the cup. There is many small business that we are seeing. I'm seeing people enjoy, I'm seeing people happy, I'm seeing people together We are not seeing the division, we are not seeing the difference of the region, nothing. If it's like this angle, I think that is a good thing.
The life has changed, certainly. The life has changed. The town is very clean. The new building have been out. I think this a little change.
No, we are so happy. We are so happy because we were very stressed about COVID situation. But when I'm looking, since what we are doing, we are going up and down. People are not stressed. People are happy. People are going to fan zones.
It's back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale, who filed that report from Yaoundé, Cameroon. I'm Sonny Young in Washington. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. So what did football fans in East Africa think of Senegal lifting the Africa Cup for the first time? Let's listen in now to some of their thoughts.
My name is Sherifa Nambi. Concerning Senegal's win, our first win, because I'm a huge fan of Senegal, personally, I'm happy. I think we truly deserved it, even though I think I might say in 2019 we deserved it more. We played better than this time round. We had a slow start, but we picked up Personally, I'm happy for the win, for the title. This is our first AFCON trophy, and it really means a lot to me as a Senegal fan. It means a lot. I remember we only scored one goal in the group stages, and we made top of the group and qualified to the knockout stages. And I think we picked up. In the knockout stages, we had 8 goals in the 4 games that we played in the knockout. Three games that we played in the knockout stages. That was real good because we stood up later. But to me, it means a lot. As a fan, I'm so happy and glad that we won the trophy.
My name is George Katongole. I'm a writer and a sports writer. Well, I was rooting for Egypt, especially when Cameroon, the Indomitable Lions, were eliminated. It's my first choice team in Africa in case of Uganda's absence at any major tournament. But it felt so bad. I thought at a certain point that we were going to win. Salah put in a second gear. But Egypt seemed to be overall the best. Rather, Senegal were overall the best team of the night. For the first time, I didn't even watch the trophy award ceremony because I was feeling bad. Not that I was feeling sleepy. I was just feeling bad. I couldn't stand watching one of my favorite players, Salah, crying. It was just like that. So I just switched off the TV, went to bed, and hope. The boys, because Egypt really had young boys. I only hope they can stay together longer and maybe they can win it another time.
First of all, Senegal winning the Africa Cup of Nations for the first time, it brings a new breath of fresh air on the continent because they become the 14th nation to do this, and I think they've had rather a totally unique script, littered with history of failures, and somehow on their third attempt in a final, they eventually did it. I think this will go down in building more fundamental blocks of football in Senegal, considering the structures are not that as developed, even if they have a star-studded squad that has players playing across all the top leagues in Europe, but obviously some have been born and bred out of Senegal. And I think the future is really, really bright, and this is, I must say, the better of the generations that Senegal has had in recent history. If I compare with the generation they had at the turn of the century with this one is a more formidable one, and eventually, led by Sadio Mane, it yielded fruit. But on the other side, the wait for Egypt is now a little longer. 12 years since they last won it. They've had 2 finals in there, not won it. And it could be a big dent in Mo Salah being recognized as one of the greatest players ever, even if he's got a unique style of play.
It was nice, so Senegal won. And that is my best team I was supporting. Because they have individual players are good, have good quality players. So I'm a supporter of Liverpool, and Sideman is my favorite player. I like so much.
There is even Salah is also for Liverpool.
No, Salah is also there, but my heart has caught Sideman. When I saw it, because for Marvel, I've never seen the cup, but the cup was so nice. It's a gold, full of gold, I understand. It was so nice for me.
I'm from Congo. The thing that my country didn't participate in the tournament, so I didn't really enjoy. But I watched the final, and it was amazing. Yeah, I enjoyed it very well because I was supporting Senegal to win the AFCON. It was good. As like Congolese, we like to enjoy.
You've been listening to some football fans in East Africa, and thanks to Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala, Uganda, for that audio.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel. In honor of Black History Month, we speak with a prominent former U.S. ambassador to South Africa, senior Obama White House official, and former head of the Open Society Foundation, Patrick Gaspar, currently president and CEO of the Center for American Progress. We'll discuss a range of domestic and international issues, from the January 6th insurrection to U.S. policy toward Africa. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the African basketball beat, the Voice of America is once again a proud broadcasting partner of the Basketball Africa League. The BAL's second season will tip off on March 5th in Dakar, Senegal. The new league will also hold games in two other African cities, Cairo, Egypt, and Kigali, Rwanda. The BAL will once again feature the top 12 club teams from 12 African countries. Taking a look at the BAL's schedule, there will be a total of 38 games. There will be 15 games at the Dakar Arena in Senegal from March 5th to March 15th. There will be 15 more games at the Hassan Mustafa Indoor Sports Complex in Cairo from April 9th to April 19th. And an 8-game playoffs and final will be played at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda from May 21st to May 28th. Zamalek of Egypt won last year's inaugural BAL championship. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. In NBA action Wednesday night, Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies was the night's top scorer with 44 points, but it was not enough, as the Grizzlies saw their 6-game winning streak snapped by the visiting Portland Trail Blazers. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
The Grizzlies' 6-game winning streak is over after a 123-119 loss to Portland. Yusuf Nurkic had 32 points and 8 rebounds for the Trail Blazers, who've won 4 straight since dealing CJ McCollum before the trade deadline last week.
It was scrappy, playing hard, but it was great to compete, great to be out there. Young fellas playing great. I mean, everybody was just playing, you know, from top to the bottom, the role in today's game.
Anthony Simons finished with 31 points and 6 rebounds to help the Blazers overcome Ja Morant's 44 points. Simons has scored at least 29 points in 3 straight games.
We just came in, played hard, matched their intensity. I think we played, you know, pretty much harder than the majority of the game. And we was able to get a lead. They came back, and we was able to sustain the you know, that the run they was having in the fourth quarter. So I'm just glad that we was able to come out with a great win.
Josh Hart added 22 points, 6 assists, and 7 rebounds for Portland. Desmond Bane scored 30 points, and Brandon Clark finished with 12 for Memphis. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Now let's go to San Francisco, California, where a last-second shot lifted the Denver Nuggets to a thrilling victory over the Golden State Warriors. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from San Francisco.
The Nuggets won the game on a 3-pointer by Monte Morris as time expired to stun the Warriors 117-116. On the Warriors' final possession, Stephen Curry made a 3-point play to put the Warriors up by 2 points with 5.9 seconds left. But Denver was able to run down the clock, and Nikola Jokic passed the ball to Morris for the game winner.
I kind of knew it was good once I let it go. I just didn't know if I got it off in time. That was the big thing. So I really wasn't trying to celebrate too much, because it would have been all worthless if I didn't get the shot off in time.
Jokic finished with a game-high 35 points and 17 rebounds. Morris had 13 points. For the Warriors, they've lost 4 of their last 5 games heading to the All-Star break. Ryan Leong, San Francisco.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan mentioned the All-Star break. The NBA's 71st All-Star game will be played Sunday in Cleveland, Ohio. The Phoenix Suns are shining brightly heading into the league's All-Star break. The AP's Tom Merriam reports.
The Phoenix Suns will head into the All-Star break with the best record in the NBA and a seven-game winning streak after a fourth-quarter rally to defeat the Houston Rockets 124-121. Chris Paul was ejected, but backcourt mate Devin Booker took charge with 24 points.
You know, we turn it on, and I don't want to make it sound like it's an on-off switch, like we're not trying the rest of the game, but, you know, we've been in those situations, and we understand how much those little plays and 50-50 balls matter.
The Boston Celtics' nine-game winning streak was snapped by a team that had lost eight straight, the Detroit Pistons, 112-111. Jaylen Brown scored 31 for the disappointed Celtics.
Definitely leaves a bad taste in your mouth before the break. Definitely a game that we got to find a way to win.
The Bulls won their fifth straight, 125-118 over the Kings. 38 for DeMar DeRozan, who eclipsed Will Chamberlain as the first player in NBA history to score 35 or more points and shoot 50% or better in seven consecutive games.
Just to be in the record books, along with, you know, staples in this basketball history is, you know, speechless.
The Nets overcame a 28-point deficit to defeat the fading Knicks 111-106. Also in the win column Wednesday, Nuggets, Lakers, Raptors, Hawks, Trailblazers, Spurs, and Pacers. College basketball. The top two teams in the AP poll both played and won. Number one at Gonzaga, East passed Pepperdine, while second-ranked Auburn derailed Vanderbilt. I'm Tom Merriam.
Thanks, Tom.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including Russia announcing some of their troops would return to base after completing recent drills, but stressed that other major military exercises would continue. Join us for Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week. Right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. Kenya was hoping to send a men's ice hockey team to the Winter Olympics in China, but the team failed to qualify due to lack of financial support and not having a place to train. Brenda Molina reports from Nairobi, Kenya.
Kenya's ice hockey team, the Ice Lions, hasn't trained on ice for the last 2 years. The players say that's a key reason they're not at the Beijing Winter Olympics representing Kenya. Hassan Ali has been playing ice hockey for almost 7 years now.
My teammates, they kind of feel sad because, like, most of us wanted to be there to represent our country, Kenya.
The Ice Lions have not had access to the region's only ice rink since it was closed in 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic. The government ordered the suspension of all sporting activities and the closure of entertainment venues. But even before that happened, a lack of financial support made it difficult to train properly.
The facility we are using is commercial, so you have to pay for the facility to train. And most of the athletes at the same time cannot afford to pay for it.
Kenya's National Olympic Organizing Committee, also known as NOC, is responsible for coordinating Kenya's international sporting events. Committee officials admit that a lack of funding has made it difficult for Kenya to participate at these Winter Games. Kenya took part in the 2018 Winter Olympics and had hoped to send three individual athletes and the hockey team to this year's event. NOC Secretary General says the cost of supporting teams at the Winter Olympics is prohibitive for a tropical country like Kenya, but suggested that may change.
We've also engaged our Ministry of Sports, Culture and Heritage, and they have also agreed with that there should be a little bit more focus on the winter sports so that even if we are not going to be competitive for a podium finish, the fact that Kenya will be represented and that our flag will be flown in such an important international event, that would be good for us.
Brenda Molinya for VOA News, Nairobi, Kenya.
Thanks, Brenda. In European club football Wednesday, Liverpool defeated Inter Milan 2-0 and Bayern Munich and Red Bull Salzburg drew 1-1 in first leg UEFA Champions League round of 16 matches. VOA's Gwen Ooten joins us now with reaction from the four coaches. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Liverpool sealed their 2-0 victory on Wednesday thanks to second half goals from Brazilian midfielder Roberto Firmino and Egypt's Mohamed Salah. Liverpool are now in a commanding position in their round of 16 campaign and one step closer to reaching the Champions League quarterfinals. But after Wednesday's match, manager Jurgen Klopp warned his side not to feel too comfortable ahead of next month's return encounter with Inter Milan.
It's still dangerous, so it's half time. Nothing else. So Inter that's how it is in knockout stages. You learn a lot about the opponent. Before you'd make an analyze without playing them. After that, you make an analyze with playing them. So we both teams know much more about each other. So we don't feel like halfway through or whatever. We know it will be a tricky one, and we have to be ready for that. But I didn't see that we play similar, but they played good. They play different to us. They do a lot of different things, but they are good and really good. And so that's why halftime, tune it up. If it's a proper halftime, like today we are tuning up halftime, I don't tell the boys, oh, my God, job done. Put your legs on the table. That's a very tricky result, and why should we think differently about it now?
Inter Milan are the reigning Serie A champions and currently number two in the league. They are back in the Champions League knockout stages for the first time in 10 years. And Inter's defeat against Liverpool is their first home loss to an English side in European competition since March 2008. And afterwards, coach Simone Inzaghi said their 2-0 defeat should have gone very differently.
Well, I think it was...
Inzaghi says, in part, I think it was a very good match that we should be proud of. We played against one of the two strongest teams in Europe. For 75 minutes, we deserved to win the game. But unfortunately, we didn't manage to score because of some mistakes on our part. He concludes, I congratulated the team. I'm proud of them. And I'm proud of our fans who supported us until the end. Next month, Inter Milan will travel to Anfield Stadium to face Liverpool in their second leg match on March 8th. Also on Wednesday, Bayern Munich netted a 90th minute goal to make it a 1-1 draw at Red Bull Salzburg. Salzburg took the lead midway through the first half before Bayern leveled things off late in the second. And despite not coming away with a win at home, Salzburg coach Matthias Jeisler insists team morale will be high ahead of their second leg match in Munich. Jeisler says this match ended 1-1. We know that we are playing against the current best team in the world in the second leg. We still remain the clear underdog. We don't want to depart from our current style at all. Instead, we are going to Munich with great morale, with the exact same idea of soccer. We want to show that on the field again, and we will see how that turns out. In 2020, French winger Kingsley Coman struck the game-winning goal for Bayern Munich in the Champions League final, and he scored the 90th minute equalizer for the club on Wednesday. Bayern coach Julian Nagelsmann said his side turned up the pressure in the second half to score in the final moments of the match. Nagelsmann said, "We could have better solved many phases of the first half. That means I wasn't quite satisfied with some phases. We played very well during the second half. We have scored a goal very late, unfortunately, or the other way, fortunately, right in time." Bayern is set to host Salzburg for their return second leg match in Munich, also on March 8th. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thank you, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the February 17th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.